I received a cease and desist request from Brother Clint Doolittle, who is one of the ministers that was on the list. And I have said that if any of the ministers has objections from Scripture to anything on the website, that I would deal with it on the website. Well, so I'm just going to read you what he said. Hi, Arlen. Hope you are well. Sending a good faith cease and desist request regarding your proselytizing away from the saints' long and sincerely held biblical doctrine of divine healing. If you want to go this way, go it alone. Praying against any, quote, effectiveness of this effort and confident in the discernment of sincere saints of God on this matter. I responded by saying, sending another good faith request to show me where I am wrong in Scripture. So Brother Clint responds to that by saying, you've heard and appear to have rejected the sound and cover-to-cover pattern through Scripture, not convinced of the good faith nature of the response, but praying it will be so, and believe you know the way if you sincerely are searching. My recommendation to others receiving these messages is not to give it the time of day, not interested in giving it the credibility of a back-and-forth discussion on it, as we know the spirit and doctrine it is of. So I posted this exchange over on the text version. So if you go to the menu on your phone there, you'll see desist request, and you can read it for yourself. I mentioned in the material, I don't remember which audio track it was, that a brother gets up Sunday morning, National Camp meeting, and says, somebody comes along and says, I've been studying this for a long time. It was not this brother. It was not Brother Clint. It was somebody else. It was another minister on the list who said, basically, and I need to pull it up. I might do that and make a link to it. It was as if you can make the Scripture say anything. But he was saying, you've got to go with what the Spirit says. You've got to go with what you believe down here. But you've heard the phrase, get real. But what is real to you? For example, if a person who lives in government project, that person was to tell his neighbors who also live in the government projects, that I'm going to live in a $1 million home someday. They're probably going to tell him, get real. But if that same person travels to a neighborhood of $1 million homes, and he sees a homeowner out in the yard, and he tells that homeowner, I'm going to live in a $1 million home in a neighborhood like this someday, that homeowner is going to say, well, sure you will. Because what's real to him is different than what's real to somebody living in government projects. It doesn't mean that what's real to you is all that's possible or that is all that there is, but it's just what is real to you in your experience. But the purpose of the light is to change what is real to us, to change what is possible for us. For example, what was real to Paul when he was on the road to Damascus changed when the light shone on him. When he fell off his donkey and he saw the bright light, all of a sudden, what was real changed. When he found out that he was killing God's people, he stopped killing them. So if someone were to ask me, why are you getting so worked up about this now? Well, because the light has come. That's why. What we did ignorantly, as the Apostle Paul said, I received mercy because I did it ignorantly. What we did when our consciences would have convicted us to do anything else is different when the light has come. But now that the light has come, we need to be up and moving and following the light. Like the pastor over in Africa, he just got this information a few weeks ago. He studied it over. He said, this is deep Bible. Give me some lesson plans. I've got to head out and spread the word. He didn't take 6 years to think it over. What Brother Clint is presenting here is pure, unadulterated sectism. All of our songs about sectism, this is what it is. This is what it looks like, to actually scoff at the Word of God. That, as Jesus said, we're rich and we have need of nothing, especially from a nobody. But Sister Patsy Kane, who was Brother Ed Wilson's sister, taught a lesson at the church school, the Path of Life Church School, and she said that her father, Brother Clifford Wilson, taught that if we ever come to a place as a movement where we reject the Word of God, meaning we're not willing to change, to accept the Word of God, to walk in the light, means you're willing to do some changing sometime. But he said, if we ever come to a place like this, then we're no longer the Church of God, by definition, by our own definition. We've defined ourselves out of existence as the Church of God. And that's why there is the section on the unanimity of Scripture. That was something Brother Austis Wilson taught. I didn't make that up. When you have all of the Word of God from beginning to end that lines up with the character of God, everything He said, it all lines up, and your spirit disagrees with all that, and you're just going to say, well, you got to go what the Lord tells you, or go what the Holy Spirit tells you, and ignore the Word of God. Don't even open the Bible. Don't even offer a scripture, because you don't need to. That to claim, like the Jews did, we're Abraham's seed. Or to say it regarding this matter, what is that to us? See thou to that. He's not going to, my recommendation is he's not interested in giving it the credibility of a back and forth discussion, because we know what spirit and doctrine it is of. And notice what he's saying, that we know the spirit, we know the doctrine, so we don't even have to crack the cover of the Bible. And as far as all this time I've spent digging around inside there, I could have just shut it and left it shut, because it's a pattern that we're after here. And here I'm in the middle of it trying to find the scriptures, and I didn't even need to open it, because our group has the right pattern and we can leave that book shut. So a parent who has a child who needs life-saving medical aid, if that parent comes to their pastor and that pastor happens to be Brother Clint, and let's say the parent asks, am I required to withhold life-saving medical aid from my child? I've heard there's some questions about that out there. Someone is saying that that's not really God's plan. And they said Brother D.S. Warner even had something to say about that. Well, Brother Clint's going to say, don't even give it the time of day. Withhold that medical aid. That's the E.E. Byram way. And that's what it means to fully trust the Lord. That's the way it's been. And that's the right spirit and the right doctrine. We've got it. So just don't worry yourself about it. Meanwhile, while I'm absorbing this, a message comes through from a pastor over in Africa with a picture of himself with his congregation, who said they had prayer for me and for this effort this morning. This is Sunday. Today is Sunday, August 7th. This morning in their morning service, they had prayer for me and for this work. And he says he knows of many pastors whose children have died because they were not given medical aid. And he wants this information translated into the local languages over there. So as far as the effort not being effective, it may be too late for that, because the website has already had hundreds of users just in the first 2 weeks, and many thousands of interactions.
So the scripture over in Isaiah talks about the watchman. You know, the watchman on the wall is supposed to, he's charged with warning, giving a warning. If he doesn't give the warning, then people will be lost, but the watchman will also be held responsible. Well, over in Isaiah, it talks about a situation that occurs with the watchman. So if you can't afford a watchman, if you can't afford private security, what do you do? Well, you can always get a watchdog, right? I mean, it's better than nothing. But in this case, Isaiah is saying the watchmen are blind. They're ignorant. They're dumb dogs, meaning they're not articulating anything. As watchmen, they should be able to articulate a clear message. Is all well, or is there danger, or what do we do? How do we handle this? That's what a watchman is for. But in this case, Isaiah is saying, never mind them being a watchman, they're not even a watchdog. They won't even bark. They won't bark one way or the other. So I don't mean to be tough on the ministry here, but this is not going away, because the scriptural principles that D.S. Warner laid out are not going to stop being true. And the error that E.E. Byram imbibed and propagated, it's not going to stop being error. It's not going to stop being superstition. So that's why I say this issue is not going away. And the people are no longer going to be satisfied, because now they can identify a euphemism. They can understand clearly what trust the Lord all the way means as you're using it. They understand what superstition is. So giving a little concession to those who are not measured up, and, you know, who knows whether they're even going to heaven, but for now, we're not going to condemn them. What? That's not going to work for the saints. And it's not any one of our church, and none of us are going to be able to hijack it. It's God's church. There's only one thing we can do here, is acknowledge what the truth is. And if it's not the truth, the faster we knock it down, the better. I said that myself for years, for 3 years. I held up before I told any ministers about this.
for 3 years, and now for 6 years more? Well, then it's the truth. It's the truth. And now, like I say, we're in a cover-up. To ignore it, to stay silent out there and not say, amen, that's the truth. Well, then it's a cover-up. And it's just simply not going to work to try to make little concessions that cost us nothing in terms of owning up on this.
And say that we don't really condemn people while we at the same time hold up the gold standard for all those who want to make it to heaven, which is the E.E. Byram way of doing nothing other than anointing with oil and prayer, as D.S. Warner said. And the very next time someone does that, they're going to be talking to a congregation full of people who know everything that D.S. Warner taught on this subject. The reformer William Tyndale said that he would cause that the boy who drives a plow will know more scriptures than the Pope. And it's my effort, now that I'm on this, if I wait any longer, I'll have blood on my hands just like they do.
And now it's in the hands of the laity.
In the scriptures regarding Molech, God said, tell everybody in the land, that's every individual, that if they turn away from this, turn their eyes away, that God would hold them individually responsible. So, dear listener, this is the word of the Lord regarding this matter, that you are required and I am required to hold our ministers accountable. Because this that Brother Clinton has come up with, this is plumb scary. I have sacrificed. Many people have sacrificed. We did not do this because we thought we were joining a club. We didn't do this because we thought we were joining a church group. We really believed all the songs that said we were back to the blessed old Bible and that to man rule will not bow. We thought that was a real thing. And what Brother Clint is doing here is totally unscriptural. It's contrary to scripture. I think I'm going to put together an interrogatory form that can be used to interview along the lines of D.S. Warner's scriptural teachings and along the lines of the boundary. See, when God says thou shalt not do something, that's a boundary. Maybe I made up the term boundary, but it's things that the scripture says thou shalt not do. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. One of the pastors over there said, what does Brother Michael Smith say about this? I said, well, he acknowledged receiving everything, but I haven't heard another word from him in 6 years, except I did find the Gospel Truth article, which I dealt with. I have to assume that would be his response to this subject. We talk about the requirement to find an ordinance in the Word of God, a direct command from God, before we can put a child to death or even put ourselves to death by omission. And we talk about the ordinance that God gave Abraham. And we said that we would have to find something like that. Well, if you look in Hebrews 11 and 9, it says regarding that matter where, you know, Abraham was on his way to offer Isaac. But look what it says about Abraham. It says, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. In other words, figuratively speaking, he was good as dead. But Abraham even knew. Abraham, even when God gave Abraham the ordinance, he knew that was not the character and the heart of God, so much so that if God made him do that, God would just have to raise Isaac back up from the dead. When God called out to Abraham and told him, don't touch the child, I'm sure Abraham was relieved, right? Well, what if Abraham had gotten a bad attitude and just went ahead and killed Isaac anyhow? You would think that we would be relieved to find out that something is false doctrine and that we would throw it off like a filthy rag.
But to get an attitude about it and say, we're going to keep doing it anyhow.
Who would want to hang on to any false doctrine, but especially this? And that's all I have to say on that. Except for this, over there in the second and third chapters of Revelation where Jesus spoke to the different churches, the congregations. You know, at least half of them had something that they had wrong. And Jesus said to this one, I'm going to give you a space to repent on this, or I gave you a space to repent on that. Or what about the Jerusalem church when Paul says that this gospel is supposed to go to the Gentiles? They're included in this. Well, that just reversed thousands of years of their tradition. They looked into it. And then the scripture says that when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship,
that we should go unto the heathen. Why do we need to be so afraid of doing what we tell everybody to do, to come just as we are, to walk in the light? Because we're entering the cover-up phase of this. When a pastor overseas says, a lot of our pastors over here have lost children because they didn't get medical aid, what does brother so-and-so say about this? And then you're going to try a brute force attack, basically, to use a cyber term, to shut down your opposition. That's not going to work. So as I'm sitting here, my phone, we've got a couple messages have come in. And as I finished the track, I pulled it up to see what it was. And it is somebody who lost their mother to something that was treatable. And this person says, I'm curious, why do you want to be part of a church that is not open to discussion or change? And I replied just now, because it is not their church and they are not going to hijack it. There is so much shallowness and insincerity out in the world of religion, and we have so much that is precious and good, and the devil has managed to put this error into our doctrine. People need a leader on this, and if we have to rally the pastors over in Africa to encourage the pastors here to be free from superstition and darkness, some of them have told me they are ready to help any way they can. So that's the end of this tract.